Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
Anytime they can make Comey's life a little more miserable, though, I'm okay with it.
It's fine.
You're not alone in that.
He made so many people's lives miserable.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Yeah, karma's a bitch.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm gonna fight 'em all.
I have underutilized property, specifically Softly Fuel. So for anybody who knows, again, 3 weeks after I had the honor of taking command of this installation, Federal Bureau of Prisons came and said, hey, we're deactivating the prison. I'm like, okay. Well, quickly, again, thanks to a lot of work that was done before I even got here, there was another facility that was supposed to basically take the remaining of those tenants from Softly Field and get them into a rehab facility that had been so catastrophically damaged by Sally that it took 5+ years to get it back up and running again. And everything was coming together at the same time. My last tenant on Softly moves out this month, and I can lock those gates. I can divest of it. I have demolition that's taking 85% of that base down to zero.
Wow. Chandra Newman, Captain Newman, Commanding Officer Skipper with NES Pensacola, Mamasan's her call sign, speaking yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce Military brief luncheon that they do every year. Very interesting stuff. I know the audio is a little hard to hear. I'm sorry. I had it all set up. And then, you know, she and Thumbs, the commanding officer at Whiting, they went in front of the podium like, no, so, you got me. Anyway, so what she's saying is Softly Field is empty. You know, Softly Field, you might know that as the place where the prison had been, or, you know, the federal incarceration facility, whatever you want to call it, low key, where the, you know, where Chrisley was at, okay? But also, that's the solar farm that's out there. You know, if you take what begins as Bayou and then becomes Brent and then becomes Beverly and then becomes Michigan and then becomes Softly Field Road. It's a crazy road. But eventually, on the right-hand side, on the north side there, you have, you know, an old military base, right? Softly Field. Well, her last tenant leaves this month. Like, there's nobody using it. It's gate and ground and solar panels, and that's it. And she's demolishing almost all of it. So, looking for uses and a unique way to find uses.
And I have about 110 acres that I'm looking for an enhanced use lease and a public-private venture of how I can take that money on a property that honestly has a solar farm on it and will not have a whole lot of anything else, and that I can utilize that for at least in a 20, 30, 50 plus year in a profit sharing structure. Again, we're trying to work through some first of its kind across the Navy of how I can bring businesses into Escambia County using enhanced use lease that I have property on and take that money and pour it right back into Corey and Pensacola.
So this is really interesting because with 110 acres of pretty good real estate, she's saying, look, I'm looking for interested renters. I'm looking for tenants. I have land. It's not secure, so I don't have to worry about all the issues of trying. You know, I'm not trying to expand it at NAS Pensacola. It's not the same. It's this, you know, Softly Field. It's a, you know, we can do with it whatever we want to do with it. And I'm looking for people to pay me to use that land. so that I can generate funds so that I can pour that back into my mission. What's interesting about this is you're really seeing, particularly NES Pensacola, I haven't seen this much with anybody else, but it might be kind of a, you know, Department of Defense wide, Department of War wide kind of program where they're being asked to be entrepreneurs. You know, on the one hand, let's go build dorms for Cory Station to enhance our capability or increase our pipeline size for the cyber warriors at CWIT, Center for Information Warfare Training. You know, we're way over capacity right now. We're built for 1,700. We got 3,300, and we're not even in the post-high school graduation surge yet. She's like, I'm building dorms, and I'm using a private company to build them, Rise, because it's 25% the cost of using my own builders, the military construction, the MILCON folks. Well, similarly here, so she's cutting costs by doing these intergovernmental services or support agreements, just like Whiting has been talking about doing now for a while and does. You know, they can provide it cheaper with less regulation, and that's a savings for the Navy, but also, or for the base. But also now she's talking about, hey, let's make revenue stream. Anybody out there interested in building something on Softly Field? It's a pretty good location. You know, we're going to do economic development, basically, and ensure a revenue stream for the base so that that will also defray the cost of operating this thing that's so important. Instead of getting funded by the federal government through the, you know, National Defense Authorization Act, let's do a side hustle at Softly Field.
I will never get enough blood out of the turnip that I have. And no matter how many turnip trucks I get, it's still going to be too short. But if I can leverage the underutilized assets that I have, create partnerships with our community. The county's already been out, they've looked at it. We've had a couple of businesses be of interest. We're not there yet, and honestly, there's a part that I have to complete here on how I get all the authorities lined up and remove some obstacles, which comes with anything trying to do with the first of its kind in this particular profit sharing in out years, because I'm not worried about money today in 2026. I want 2056 money if we're going to partner like this, if we're going to bring jobs and business into the community that I can use for installations in the future, particularly when I start talking about our aviation and cyber missions.
All right, so think of Softly Field as another industrial park that once was, you know, an airstrip, airport, whatever you want to call it, and training, and now has been a prison or a jail and is also some solar farms, but it can be anything. And as, like I said, she's trying to create a revenue stream that will, as she said, provide revenue for the next 30 years, not just this year, so that she can enhance her cyber warrior and other missions that they're doing at NES Pensacola. We'll come back to this in a second because there's another dimension to this. It's really interesting. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash Pace Boulevard at Loretta Street in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Chandra Newman, Captain Mamasan, talking about the damage that was done to the base, the port particularly, during Hurricanes Ivan and Sally, and what that means for the Coast Guard mission and the ship side, you know, the water side mission of the bay. We think about them a lot as mechanics and maintainers and, you know, backseat trainers for the, not just the Navy and the Marines, but also for the Air Force and the preliminary training for all of your pilots. But the cutter side and the boat side is very interesting.
And if you didn't know also, we can talk about our schoolhouses and how we produce for the fleet. But our Department of Homeland Security, I have CISA here on mission every day. I've got the Coast Guard with two cutters and a buoy tender on my port. What Hurricane Ivan damaged in the port, Sally killed.
What Hurricane Ivan damaged, Sally killed. Two cutters and a buoy tender for the Coast Guard, and that presence has increased and decreased over time. It was up to five, I think, at one point total, and maybe six even. I think it was five cutters and the buoy tender, and then those other ones have been decommissioned or retired, but there are more coming, and she's like, look, Coast Guard is putting $25 million into the Dock C that currently is not functional. And she wants to be able to handle the L class of amphibious ships that the Marines would operate. Well, the Navy operates with the Marines ride on the LHAs and the LHDs, those helicopter platforms. Because if that were here, then we could handle those.
So we're looking at three OPCs from the Coast Guard. When they come off one off the line,
offshore patrol cutters.
How they decom the others that are remaining still to be determined. But the Coast Guard's looking for some more homes. I'm saying if I can get this back up and running in my port and seeing what the Port of Pensacola is doing to get after business when we start talking about American Magic, Burnham, and some of these others to get to our national strategic interests of our shipbuilding infrastructure and our maritime services Why not my port too? If we build it, they will come and we can get those grave holes taken care of right here in Pensacola. That's my vision. That's my goal.
So she wants to have these amphibs coming here and getting their service or their recreation or their training. I'm not sure. All of those things. And she says, you know, we've got shipbuilding capability with American Magic, with Birdon coming. She was talking previously in the other segment about the building of the hangar that was done for ST Engineering at the airport. We could use those capabilities to refurbish the hangar that everybody talks about. It's not really the Blue Angels hangar. People do talk about it that way. We've got three new Coast Guard cutters coming here. Not sure about the retirement, but why shouldn't we be doing all of this ourselves? Why can't we handle this? Because the port at Pensacola that does at NES Pensacola that doesn't really get used as much as it should is a really unique facility.
We're the only deep water port for the Department of War in the entire Gulf of America.
The only deep water port for the Department of War in the Gulf of America.
This sits on a DOW fence line. The only one. We're only one of four in the continental United States that has that deep water port. Co-located with the airfield.
A deep water port co-located with an airfield, the only one on the Gulf of America, or I would say Mexico, but, you know, in either case, it's a unique location, and we have lots of value. In fact, we've been stressed in using that value when we've dealt with hurricanes and moving other people here, even temporarily. So we've got a lot of value as a place, waterside, land at Softly. We do a lot of training, obviously, at CWIT and obviously for the aviation side as well. But, you know, let's go. Let's develop some private partnerships or ISGAs. Let's fund things by, you know, renting off some of the land, Softly Field. It was a really interesting, because I know probably when you think about NES Pensacola, and we've done a lot to really try to, you know, explain all the different missions that they have here, you know, well over 100 tenant commands, not just the Blue Angels, which, it's a common complaint among the military that, you know, people don't know what happens on that base, and that's what we try to teach. But it's not just thinking of the particular missions, although that's very important. It's thinking about the role of the skipper. Is she's the mayor of NES Pensacola and all these properties. And, you know, it's a business that she's running and trying to figure out how to manage it effectively and, you know, coming up with some fairly interesting and innovative ways of managing that business space. Now, also, Ted Elkins, who is the commanding officer, the captain, skipper over at NAS Whiting Field, the other major military installation in our area, obviously, that does, you know, Santa Rosa County, handles 60% of the training of all the fixed-wing pilots and those T-6 Texans, the turboprops, and then all of the helicopter training for the entire Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. And they even have some Air Force who do the training, he was saying yesterday. I hadn't remembered that part, but, you know, the busiest airfield in the world, 1.2-ish, 1.3-ish million operations. You know, think of, like, Atlanta does 800,000 and, you know, O'Hare does, like, 800,000. So very, very active. But he explained something that I had not heard explained before, which is, you ever hear this term encroachment? Houses getting too close to the perimeter of the bases and impairing their ability to do their mission. He explained how encroachment affected, for example, Holly Field in Holly, Navarre. You know, it's all solar farms now, but why they didn't expand that when they changed trainers a couple of years back.
I'm not a tree hugger, but I am a base hugger. And I will tell you, what we do through preservation and grants to do preservation help protect us from encroachment and preserve our mission. So when what we see here at Holly, this picture isn't the greatest for it, but you'll have to just trust me. All four sides, there's encroachment. So when we convert it over to the T6 from the T34, this requires longer runways. Couldn't elongate those runways.
So they found themselves with a bunch of land that was usable for the old T-34s, but when they converted to the T-6, that needed a longer runway to land and take off. There was nowhere to build a longer runway because all the houses had encroached in the perimeter. So they basically turned it into a solar farm, which has benefit. It provides energy for Whiting. It provides a defraying of the, you know, electrical costs in the vicinity, I guess. But basically, it's lost because there wasn't enough done to protect around it. So when you see conservation movement, when you see efforts to keep the people away from the bases, that's not just because we don't want people living next to the base, you know, like complaining about the air noise. It's because we're making room for future expansion if it's needed for whatever we might need to do in the future. And that might mean longer runways. And if you can't build longer runways, then you just have to chuck that land and use it for something else. Similarly, it was kind of interesting to hear him talk about the new TH-73. That's the Thrasher that replaced the old Sea Ranger, the TH-57, the one that's been retired now. And, you know, one of those, the last remaining one, is going to go to Milton. There's one that is over on display at NAS Pensacola in the Naval Aviation Museum. But the design of these helicopters is just enough different that it changes the usefulness of some of the different outlying landing fields that they have used to fly missions to. And he didn't specifically say OLF-8, but I think it turned out to be sort of a good coincidence. OLF-8's mostly grass, and they need to be able to use these, like, they land them hard sideways, you know, almost like planes. Well, the problem is that the TH-73 lands like a snowplow. They can't really do it on grass. They need to be able to do it on concrete. Well, the new site that we built for them, the Scambic built for them in the trade, is concrete, and they can use it. But the old one was fine. The old 57 could land in that kind of stuff. So they do all kinds of interesting operations, and the nature of the land they have affects whether they're able to do what they need to do.
Helicopters, we don't have parachutes. We don't have ejection seats. We have this thing called auto rotation, where you turn the rotor system into a one-time parachute. And
you turn the rotor system into a one-time parachute, and you learn how to, you don't say crash, but, I mean, you know, land hard, okay? And you don't want to practice that maneuver because, you know, you can't think about it for a second. You can't have an ejection seat in a helicopter because where would you eject to? What, right through the rotors? You know, like there's no – so you just – you figure out a way to land the airframe. And practicing that is not something you do, you know, in the fleet with these multi-tens of millions of dollars of aircraft. You do it with these practice ones. And being able to do that in certain areas and, you know – It just, it's easier if you have the right kind of land. You also proximity. Anyways, it was interesting brief. I've heard the NAS Whiting Field brief many, many times, and even I picked up things from it. So especially with the changeover to the new platform for the helicopter. So thank you so much for the chamber putting that on yesterday. Thank you to Captain Newman and Captain Elkins for Thumbs and Mama-san doing their presentation. Great folks, and I always love to hear them talk about stuff because it's interesting. And it massively affects our economy, right? About a third to a half of the economy in both counties, I think, something like that. It might be even higher than that. Depends on the military. So we should care. Let's see. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Only one accident on the board, and that is Pace Boulevard at Loretta Street in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. Also, US 29 between 10 mile and 9.5 mile, seeing quite a bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about a car, you want one that's good quality, it's going to last a long time, you don't want to spend too much for it, and if you're willing to buy one that's gently used, you know, owned once or possibly twice by other people, Frontier Motors, that's your place. They don't sell clunkers, and they don't sell brand new cars. They sell cars that are almost like brand new, but maybe not have that brand new smell. Great condition, good prices. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years included. That's not extra. That's not some extra service you pay for. That's just because they're selling you good quality cars. And it's a great selection. 300 cars and trucks and vans and SUVs on the lot. Drive as many as you like. Sample as many different things as you like. And you only have to meet one salesperson and barely that if you don't want to. They just take care of you well. Like customers that they want to come back again and again and again. That's why when I say Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello. this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Now repeat after me. I. Your name.
Your name.
Schmucks.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
Yeah, that Andrew McKay, he cares about the community, and he deciphers the news for you, and he plays Blazing Saddles clips. Just can't figure it all out. 7:30 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline maybe for us. David?
Well, President Trump says the ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran is still on after the two countries traded fire yesterday. U.S. Central Command says it conducted self-defense strikes against Iranian targets.
Ah, so ceasefire's on, the war is off, War Powers Act doesn't matter. Cool. All right, I'm tracking.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump will address the nation later today from the Rose Garden at the White House. As for the war in Iran, it continues with a dust-up in the Strait of Hormuz.
These were unprovoked attacks from Iran using small boats, missiles, and drones against three U.S. destroyers who President Trump says took care of business.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. The president says the ceasefire is still in effect, but if it was not...
If there's no ceasefire, you're not going to have to know. You're just going to have to look at one big glow coming out of Iran.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying minutes ago during his visit to Italy, we should get Iran's response today to the peace plan. State lawmakers in Alabama could vote today on a measure that could change the state's congressional primary as part of a bid to redraw House districts ahead of the midterms in November. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies at 65 degrees right now. Of course, we'll get to our forecast here in just a few minutes. A months-long controversy over the hiring of Escambia County's new library director coming to a head yesterday at the Board of County Commissioners meeting after text messages between Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger and her aide were made public. Those texts show the pair mocking a job candidate and advocating for a woman that was ultimately hired for the job. Raised a few questions about possible political interference in the administrative hiring process. County Administrator Wes Moreno was direct in his defense.
I will say this unequivocally. There's not a single commissioner sitting on this dais that told me who to hire. Not one. Not one commissioner told me who to hire.
I think that's good to hear, Wes.
And I would not. And I'll say this. I've made some decisions that I'm... No, probably weren't very popular decisions as some directors I selected in some other areas, but it was my decision.
Moreno selected Crystal Bell Rivera for the library director role in March over Bradley Vinson, who'd been unanimously recommended by the Library Board of Governors. The texts showed Hoffberger's aide describing Vinson as having bombed her interview and Hoffberger responding with a joke about a shoeless librarian. Moreno acknowledged there could have been some confusion about the hiring process and apologized for that, but said the decision was his alone. A policy review is expected by the Board of Commissioners next month. Escambia County moving towards putting a 10-year extension on the 1 cent local option sales tax. And that'll be on the November 2026 ballot. Commissioners yesterday scheduling a public hearing for June 17th to consider directing the Supervisor of Elections to place that measure before voters. If approved, the tax would run from January 2029 through December 2038. Well, Escambia County's been wrestling with the question of customary use on Perdido Key beaches. And, well, last night, opponents of a potential ordinance about that argued that the legal outcome would already be clear. Speakers pointed to Walton County and their costly experience defending customary use in court as a cautionary tale. Attorney and property owner Mark Hearn laid out what he's seen.
Walton County's now concluded customary use litigation is instructive on this point. The county there sued 1,194 private parcel owners, and after 5 years of litigation and millions of dollars in legal fees, every single represented owner who objected, 1,099 of them, obtained a finding, a judicial finding, that customary use does not exist on their parcel of property.
The county is currently collecting public input through an online portal at myescambia.com through August 28th. Opponents argue the county's own history of posting no trespassing signs on private beach property makes it impossible to claim public use has been continuous, which is one of the four legal standards required to establish customary use. Now, the UWF Historic Trust's Pensacola Museum of History is opening a new exhibit today, exploring Pensacola's overlooked role in the American Revolution. Road to Revolution features original letters, artifacts, and paintings, including a proclamation from King George III and a British officer's sword. That exhibit will run through May of next year. It's 7:35. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Taking a look at the big board, let's see here. US 29 from about Roberts Road to 9.5 Mile Road, seeing quite a bit of congestion. Otherwise, still just working that vehicle crash path. Pace Boulevard at Loretta Street in Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And it's 7:35, 65 and cloudy right now. Here's our forecast from Channel 3.
We will have a high chance of rain today, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Saturday, 90% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. Heading into your Mother's Day, we will keep rain chances around with a high near 81 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. job growth likely slowed in April as the boost from warmer weather and return of striking health workers faded. Reuters analysts predict that the non-farm payrolls likely increased by 62,000 jobs last month and that the unemployment rate is expected to hold steady at 4.3%. Data drops in 10 minutes. Toyota Motor reported a 49% drop in fourth quarter operating profit, missing analyst estimates as tariffs and intensifying competition from Chinese automakers pressured earnings. Toyota's quarterly operating profit missed estimates amid higher tariffs that raised costs. Vehicle sales in the fourth quarter fell to nearly 2.3 million from 2.36 million units a year earlier.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Christy D's Bad Juju takes the stage with rock, blues, and everything in between. Each show is full of high energy and good times from start to finish. So come out and have some fun at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass. And this week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes. I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Calais decision, and it provided justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flame.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Oh, by the way, I keep forgetting to tell you this, but there is a candidate forum going on this morning, 10:30 to noon, at the main library on Spring Street downtown. For the commissioner candidates for District 2 and District 4. I don't know, I'm the moderator or something. So, anyway, David's PJ just, what? Yeah, I mean,
this is news to you?
I knew, but it just, you know, I keep forgetting to tell you. So, anyway, busy day today. We got that. It's a Burger Friday at my house, so it's, and then the Navy Gala tonight for Navy Days at the museum. So, lots of stuff going on. Anyway, that's 10:30 this morning at the Spring Street Library. Okay, the Supreme Court, I talked about this last hour, but this is, to me, such a fascinating case because of the implications. But it's essentially about the question of geofence warrants. And again, if you're not familiar, and I apologize, you've been listening for a couple hours and you've heard this already, but, you know, sometimes it's okay to hear something twice. The idea is the police in this case went to, there was a bank robbery, and they didn't have any suspects. So they went to Google and they said, okay, can you tell us whose phones were anywhere within 500 feet of this bank within a half hour before and after this bank robbery? And they went through their database of location tracking and they said, we have 19 phones that fit that description. And the police came back and said, okay, can you limit it down a little bit further to this and this and this characteristic? And they're like, yeah, we got, nine. And eventually, like, okay, I think it's these three. Can you give us those names? And they gave us those names. This was all with a warrant, okay? And it wasn't the police doing the search of the database. It was Google doing the search of the database. But that's essentially what happened. And they convicted this guy because he was there and they found other evidence and they managed to make a case against him. Well, he's gone all the way to the Supreme Court and he's now said, what gives? You can't just go looking at people's location history on Google. That is a unjustified warrant search, even though you did use a warrant, it's unjustified because we expect that to be private. And there's no reason to think, I mean, you may have got lucky with me, but there were other people who were caught up in this and you didn't have reason to think it was me until you found the information from my private papers that you did not have probable cause to search. And you certainly didn't have any probable cause to search all these other people and you searched them and they don't even know about it because they didn't get arrested for anything because millions of these searches happen all the time and nobody even knows because nobody even knows. So that's the argument. It's not a legitimate Fourth Amendment search. The other argument against this, in part, is there's the expectation of privacy, right? We have put these things, you know, it would allow, if you could do this, you could search anything. The government is saying it's not even a search, by the way. We'll get to that in just a second. But the applications to the government being able to look at your cloud-stored photos, your cloud-stored calendar, your cloud-stored emails, anything could potentially become the subject of a blanket search like this if the government wins its case. Eric Fagan, he is the Deputy Solicitor General for the United States Department of Justice. On the other side,
petitioner here is asking for an unprecedented transformation of the Fourth Amendment into an impregnable fortress around records of his public movements that he affirmatively consented to allow Google to create, maintain, and use.
So their argument is this would be hard for law enforcement. We use it a lot, and we do. And I talked to Eric Winstrom yesterday, the chief of the Pensacola Police Department. And he said, yeah, he's, in the past, they've used this before. Solves crime, solves murders. They've used it all the time. And this would limit, you know, the ability to do criminal enforcement. But also, you volunteered this information. You checkbox opted in to share this with Google. If you didn't want them to be able to share it with law enforcement, which is in your agreement, then you shouldn't have opted in.
In doing so, he would make that fortress so impregnable that not even a judge's warrant for even a moment of the public location of someone who, again, affirmatively opted to allow Google to have those records and to access them would be available to law enforcement. That's a debilitating and counterintuitive reading of the Fourth Amendment that would impede the investigation of kidnappings, robberies, shootings, and other crimes.
All kinds of people are convicted through these sorts of searches, not just of Google's location tracking history ability, but other things as well. By the way, Google has since moved so that your location history, if you opt into having it, is not stored at their servers, but is stored on your phone inside, you know, a password-protected account, something they cannot even search, and therefore it's not subject to this anymore. One of the issues in the case is whether this will be basically rendered moot by the fact pattern here.
I do think that what really matters here is that people have affirmatively opted in. Only one-third of active Google account holders do
that. So to prevent surveillance of sensitive locations, you have to rely on the fact that people are going to turn off something that many, if not most, people find is an important service.
Well, Your Honor, I do think if you wish to conceal that you were at a particular location and you are effectively shouting and broadcasting your location to Google, and that Google is creating, maintaining, using for any a number of its own purposes those records.
Justice John Roberts asking the question. So you're saying people have to turn off this useful service in order to be sort of trying to hide their information from your point of view, and since they're not trying hard enough to hide it, you can just look at it? And his answer is, well, they're broadcasting it to Google. Now, I know that's not a word that most people would find objectionable. I do, because broadcasting has a very specific meaning. It's open to everybody. I am broadcasting right now. All you have to have is a radio. Cable is not a broadcast. Satellite is not a broadcast. It requires a decoder and a receiver, and not everybody can receive it. And in this case, nobody's broadcasting the location data. They are delivering it into a password-secured account at Google, and only to Google. It is not broadcast. It is not being sent out to the whole wide world. You don't have location on for everybody. So we'll come back to this in a second, but first, PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a disabled vehicle in the roadway, I-110 northbound, right at mile marker 3, just north of Fairfield. Partial roadblock there. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. So this is where it starts to get really interesting. Judge Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, is asking about, whether this is a search at all. And that's been kind of one of the arguments that Fagan has been making, is it's not even a search because the government doesn't do it. All the government does is ask Google to. It's like if the government came to your house, it's not quite right, but, actually, here's a better example. I was going to say government comes to your house and asks you to search in your records and give it information. But let's say you have, property stored at a storage facility, and the government goes to the manager of the storage facility and says, hey, can you go look through all of your, storage areas back there and see if you can find this painting that we're looking for? That's roughly equivalent to what's going on here. And if you're the owner of the painting, you're like, well, I mean, no, I expect you to safeguard my privacy. And even if you're not the owner of the painting and you don't have a painting in your storage locker, you're like, well, I expect privacy. But the government says, okay, first of all, you don't have the full level of privacy that you think because you put the painting in the storage facility, dummy. And then second, they are not doing the search. They're asking the manager to do the search. And since the manager is doing the search, it's not even a search under the Fourth Amendment. So they can do anything they want. And that's part of the issue, is if they can search your, or they can have Google search the location history for them, what can't they have Google search for?
I got to think the answer to the Chief Justice's question is yes. This isn't a search. We don't think it's a Fourth Amendment search at all. You don't need a warrant. And yes, if we want to determine everybody who is at a church or a political rally or the abortion clinic or anything else like that, we can do that. As long as we can get Google to comply. Oh, and we might have a few tools besides warrants to get social media companies to comply with governmental requests.
Again, think about the implications. Not just the government could ask Google to look through your emails or your photos or your calendar or anything else that you've stored online in a cloud, because they would have access to it because it's at their servers. But they could go back in time and say, you know, we kind of like to know which people were at that church service, which people were at that No Kings rally, which people, I mean, you know, you always got to think, what could the abuse be? Because you can station a cop outside, you can get a warrant to do surveillance or a wiretap, and, you know, you can go through that process, but this is allowing them to go back in time and say, you know, on Tuesday, we were over at this house over here on Spring Street, but we really should have been watching the house on, 9th Avenue. Well, just ask Google who was near that house at 9th Avenue. We don't even have to do surveillance. We can just ask them retroactively to look, and they can go look for us.
Like looking at email.
So email, Your Honor, we get a warrant for email.
But again, you don't think you need one because they broadcast it, as you say, to Google. It's subject to very similar terms of service.
That's not correct, Your Honor. We view email differently, and there are several reasons.
How about Google Documents? How about photos?
We view all of those differently.
So it's
and there
just
are several
location data that's different?
By the way, that is a crucial concession because if they're different, the question is, why are they different? And since he says they're different, it might wind up undoing his entire case. But I'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
Okay.
And this court has made clear that it's different. So in Knotts, the court makes clear that...
Could you just footnote that answer? Are they different because you treat them differently? Or are they different because something in your theory doesn't apply to them?
Your Honor, I was just getting to that. So we think they're different because the court has always treated like the contents of one's personal thoughts as recorded differently from one's exposed public location, which is all that's at issue here. At least
how about a calendar?
So your calendar, I also think, would be different from your location history because a record, your own personal updated calendar of where you've been.
Okay, so lots of issues here, and somebody texts and says, look, if you're dumb enough as a criminal to leave your location on when you're conducting a crime, then you'd get whatever you get. Yeah, but no, that's not how the Fourth Amendment works. The government had to go and surveil everybody after the fact for which they did not have probable cause. You know, the fact that you're just in proximity to a crime doesn't put you under probable cause. And then they get lucky, they find somebody, and then they can use that against them. Even if you're dumb, even dumb criminals still have constitutional rights. All right, so back to this is a little bit long interchange, but I want you to hear it because this is Amy Coney Barrett really pressing him on something else that is, I think, going to undo his case, which is you can use phone tracking history data to figure out how somebody moves around inside of their house. And that knowledge is certainly not something that the government should have absolute transparency to look at or have somebody else look at on their behalf without a probable cause warrant. But they could, under this theory, therefore, that cannot be the way to approach this.
Information to public view.
You're really saying, I mean, you're leaning pretty heavily on the correct proposition that what you do in public view is not generally, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in. But now you're telling Justice Kagan, really, that if you go into a private home, it wouldn't be a search? I mean, if you trace location services? I mean, I understand in this case, and is that true that in this case you're saying you didn't pick him up in any home?
Well, Your Honor, he eventually stopped at the end of his journey away from the bank at a group of homes, but there's testimony, this is page 120.
But not inside the home. You didn't.
We couldn't tell which home he was even in.
Okay, but you really are saying that you could track someone going inside a home. Justice Sotomayor asked Mr. Unikowsky about movements inside a home, movements to the bathroom, movements to the bedroom, all of that, if the confidence interval is narrow enough.
Your Honor, I think what I'm saying is two things. One, I do think we could have done that here because of the warrant.
Like, okay, but I think the question is that a search under your...
Is it a search? I think probably, Your Honor, like, I acknowledge that's going to be a much harder case for us. I'd like to reserve the possibility that we could argue that it's not a search principally because of the opt-in and the broadcasting. But I fully accept that that would be a very, very difficult argument to sustain. Nothing in our argument in this case depends on it. And I'm not, like, saying that, that that's critical to our argument, and if the court thinks that that is a bridge too far, I'm fine with that.
Well, I was just except for it's totally inconsistent with your theory, but other than that.
Other than that, Gorsuch
tells them, you're willing to concede something that destroys your case. And everybody laughs because that's right. So in the end, there's a couple of other things to understand about this particular incident. One is there is a principle that if the cop, for example, goes and gets a warrant and is trying to comply with the law, even if they get it wrong, there's kind of a good faith exemption. And there's a lot of particulars in this case, like Google no longer stores the information on their servers. They store it on your phone. You give the benefit of the doubt to the cop a lot of times. But the question is for the future. And look, if it's not a search, then what does the warrant do? The warrant is sort of like, hey, give it to me. No, really, give it to me. that doesn't carry any weight because the government doesn't have the ability to compel these tech companies to give over this information. But do the tech companies know that they don't have to give that over when they've been served a warrant? These are some of the complications. So Unikowski, who is the respondents or the petitioner, Adam Unikowski, he's the lawyer for them. And he says, look, they've conceded everything. They've said that you don't need warrants for pictures and emails. That's the same thing as, location tracking data history. They've given this preposterous argument that just because a third party is doing the eyeball looking, it's not a search. But now we have modern, they've even argued that somebody doing it on behalf of the cops is not a search. Well, what about modern software? What about AI? If you task a program to go look through all these emails and find the information, is that now not even a search because there's no cops' eyeballs who are actually doing the looking? So, yeah, and as far as outcry from the citizens, I think most of us never knew this was even happening or what it could be used in application. And this is like thousands and thousands and thousands of times a year. So we have all had our data surveilled in this way. Are you okay with that? That's the ultimate question. Which way is the Supreme Court going to rule? I don't know how they're going to rule. I listen to the oral arguments. I don't know how they're going to rule, but I think the applications here are massive. And that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention because, as I was talking to David at my news guy the other day, I'm like, nobody even knows this is happening. So let's talk about it. This is our government acting. PJ has traffic on the fives. Your mic's on.
Still dealing with that disabled vehicle on the roadway, I-110 northbound, right near mile marker 3, just north of Fairfield. They're saying there's a partial roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you've got a business, you've got employees, you've got to manage benefits like health care and dental and vision and life and disability or manage payroll or HR, whatever the case may be, Torgerson Consulting can help you with that. They've been helping us for about 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. Since 2021, they've been giving us better plans than we knew about before, choices. We didn't really have choices before, which is fantastic, and much better customer service than we ever had before. And I love them. My wife, who is a very detail-oriented industrial engineer by training, she's like, man, they're great. I like them. I give them, and she doesn't give any insurance people their thumbs up, because usually insurance people are kind of salespeople. They're not really detailed people. And she's like, these folks are great. So more than 20 years helping businesses like yours do better. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or check them out at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Good morning, 7:59, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David!
Well, singer Bonnie Tyler is in the hospital for emergency surgery today. A statement on Facebook says the artist was rushed to a hospital near her home in southern Portugal Wednesday for an emergency intestinal surgery. And now the statement does say the surgery went well and she is recuperating.
All right, find out in the Transgressive Memorial Service why Brother Andrew likes Pope Leo and Amsterdam in 20 minutes.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A slowdown in hiring, but not as big as predicted. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We got a much better than expected jobs report for the month of April.
Fox Business Network, Cheryl Cassoni.
115,000 jobs. The expectation.